Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, May 13th, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets just a little bit lower this morning. July corn futures down 2.5 at 467 and a half. July soybeans down 3.75 at 1251 and a quarter. July Chicago wheat down 1.25 at 662 and a quarter. July Kansas City wheat down 3.5 at 669 and three quarters. July spring wheat down 1 at 719. Let's start off with this massive short covering event.
So fund traders have substantially trimmed their net short position in both the corn and soybean markets. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending May 7th, the funds were net buyers of 119,000 contracts of corn. This was the largest weekly fund short covering event in the corn market since 2019. Funds were net buyers of 111,000 contracts of soybeans. This was the largest weekly fund short covering event on record in the soybean market. And the funds were net buyers of 5,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
Massive fund buying in the row crops. The other side of that trade, if you look at the CFTC data, would be the commercial or the producer. There's hedge pressure. It's farmers selling. That's kind of taking the other side of this. So across the three contracts, corn, soybeans, SRW, wheat, you saw 235,000 contracts worth of short covering, which is really, really impressive stuff. The net short across those three contracts, now 168,000. That was larger than 500,000. The net short just a few weeks ago. So it's been really substantial. In the premium, if you're a premium sub, in the email this morning, we had the fund tracker charts broken down by crop, corn, soybeans, wheat. I also included a link to this older video update on short covering events in the corn market. What happens year in and year out when the funds cover shorts in the corn market? What does it mean for price action? What can you look for? I did this before the growing season because I wanted to have it out there before the growing season, but I think it's a really good contextual thing this morning. So premium subs, check your email this morning.
Friday's USDA report was favorable to the corn market. USDA increased its demand estimates on the old crop U.S. balance sheets. Both exports and ethanol were increased by 50 million, resulting in a 100 million bushel decrease to the carryout estimate. As expected, USDA started with trend U.S. corn and soybean yields for the 2024 crop year. Marginal cuts were made to the South American production estimates. The bulls would have liked more aggressive reductions.
On the U.S. balance sheets, let's start with old crop. USDA did increase its demand forecast for old crop corn, which was kind of surprising to me. I didn't necessarily see that coming. I don't know that the pace analysis and data warranted it, but we saw the export number increased and also the export number, or ethanol number rather, increased. I'm not going to complain about any of that. Old crop soybean balance sheet unchanged. Wheat, just some minor changes. On your new crop balance sheets, you've got some pretty bearish looking projections, I guess. But, you know, this is all just... it's all just a guessing game because they're starting with trend yields. We still don't know what the acres are. So there's a lot of things that are going to change. In today's premium video, Pete Meyer is going to be on and we're going to do some balance sheet dissection. I put this together. This is U.S. corn ending stocks to use ratio. The yellow bar is current marketing year at 13.75%, and the blue bar would be new crop, the projection, the guess of 14.2%. So even though it was a friendly report, in terms of stocks to use ratio, which is really the best way to gauge supply and demand, you're still in dog day type territory here. You're still at levels that we saw from, say, 2014 through 2019, which were, you know, more so bear market years. You had rallies, but they were bear market years. I had this, the version of this chart for corn, soybeans, and wheat in the email this morning. So premium subs, check your stuff. Oh, and South America, let me run to this real quick. Sorry. Okay, so CONAB is going to be out tomorrow, I believe tomorrow. And even though USDA came down with these numbers, there's still this big discrepancy. So USDA has the Brazilian corn crop at 122. CONAB's at 111. USDA's got the Brazilian soybean crop at 154. They like barely came down. CONAB's got the crop at 146.5. And I wouldn't be surprised if CONAB came down further. So you're going to continue to have this like monster disparity. Is it ever resolved? I don't know, but it's going to be a point of contention, certainly.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos from last week?
USDA report day is a good day to be a premium sub. I've got a video snapshot out within, I think it was out within 15 minutes of the release on Friday. On Thursday, Jim Urio was on. Do you guys ever wonder what's going to actually happen with government spending and the national debt and how this is all going to wrap up, or if it ever does wrap up? This is what Jim and I talk about at length every other week. And we did kind of a mailbag version. We had a bunch of subscriber questions come in about everything from interest rates to the stewardship of our currency, government spending, that sort of stuff. If you want to see the premium stuff, the email goes out every business day at 5 a.m. Central Time. Sign up this morning. I'll send you a copy of this morning's email, which includes those videos, the fund tracker charts, the old video on the corn market and the funds. It's jam-packed this morning. $50 per month. Cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Check that deal out this morning, guys.
Soybean oil futures increased 4.2% on Friday, their largest gain since July. The rise was due to traders anticipating that tariffs might be imposed on Chinese-used cooking oil. The Biden administration is expected to release a list of tariffs on Chinese imports early this week. The exact Chinese products that will be included are unknown, as are the potential tariff rates. Given its lower carbon intensity score, used cooking oil from China has flooded the U.S. market in recent months for biofuel production.
We talked last week about the fraudulent used cooking oil?
Yep, sure did.
So I guess, and that's not the first that story had been out there. It was out there back in like September and maybe even earlier than that. But in any case, maybe Biden does some Trump stuff again and does some tariffs. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this, but if the cooking oil is really fraudulent, I mean, you got to do something about it. And we're all about getting more soybean oil into the renewable diesel space. Soybean oil market has been really ugly. It had a big spike on Friday, 4.2% gain. But you look at this thing going back to last fall, and it's been in bear market territory. We're just not using as much as we had thought. You're still only selling this green diesel into three states. We hope that this improves.
Weekend weather was mostly dry across the U.S. Corn Belt. Rain totaling a quarter inch or less hit parts of Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Parts of the Southern Plains and U.S. Gulf Coast saw larger amounts. Rain is slated to return to the Corn Belt early this week. Southern Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee may see 1 to 2 inches over the next 5 days. Northern Iowa and most of the Western Corn Belt will be much drier by comparison. HRW wheat areas in central Kansas and Oklahoma may see up to 2 inches of rain over the next 5 days.
I would love to see some planting updates from you guys in the YouTube comments this morning, because it was a dry weekend, but the rains are coming back today or tomorrow. And even the next 5 days, I mean, there's going to be a lot of dry areas. Wisconsin, most of Minnesota, most of northern Iowa, Dakotas, a lot of Nebraska is going to be dry. I think a lot of progress will be made in those areas because they've already been dry for 3 days. Now you look at southern Iowa, you look at Missouri, Illinois, into Indiana and Ohio. I mean, more rain coming. It's been wet. I don't know exactly what USDA is going to tell us this afternoon, but we will see a crop progress report out at 3 o'clock. Here's another map. This is the kind of northern plains. You got the Dakotas, maybe a little bit of rain for North Dakota. HRW wheat country, central Kansas will see some rain, but these western areas have been really dry and they just haven't caught the rain. So western Kansas, eastern Colorado, those HRW wheat areas still kind of on the drier side.
China reduced its import forecast for its corn and soybean crops on Friday. China's ag ministry is projecting corn imports at 13 million metric tons for the 24-25 season, down more than 30% from its previous report. The decline is due to expectations of a higher domestic harvest. China is forecasting its corn crop to reach 297 million metric tons, up 7.1% from last season. Soybean imports were reduced by 1.5% to 94.6 million metric tons. The drop was attributed to a decreased capacity for domestic pig production. China's soybean crop is anticipated to reach 20.5 million metric tons, down 1.3% from last season.
So we had new crop import estimates for China from both USDA and from the Chinese government out on Friday. And there is a big disparity here. USDA's got new crop Chinese corn imports at 23 million. China's got that number at 13. In regard to soybeans, USDA's got the import number for China next year at 109. And China's got the number at 94.6. We mentioned last week, China has not bought one single cargo of U.S. soybeans for new crop delivery. So I don't know, you're always told with China, watch what they do and not what they say, and don't pay attention to their numbers. But the data to this point, the export data would say that they're not interested in U.S. soybeans for new crop delivery. Not yet, at least. We hope that that changes. What did cattle do on Friday?
Cattle futures were mixed on Friday. Feeders were 15 cents lower to 37 cents higher. For the week, feeders were an average of 319 lower. Live cattle were 20 cents higher to 55 cents higher on Friday. For the week, live cattle were an average of 83 cents lower. Cash cattle trade was mostly steady last week. Up here in the north, cattle traded between 186 to 187, which was steady to $1 higher. In the south, cattle traded mostly at 184, which was steady with the prior week. Box beef prices declined on Friday. Choice ended the day at 294.57. That was down 82 cents. For the week, choice was 37 cents higher. Select ended Friday at 284.17. That was down $1.59. For the week, select was 348 lower.
Outside markets on Monday morning, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are just up a little bit. Bonds up a little bit. Gold's down 26 bucks. Crude oil is up 27 cents in the June WTI at 78.53. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.